LL Cool J to wear FUBU gear for a promotional campaign. How do you sell yourself and your brand and that marketing concept? And specifically, how did you sell that to LL Cool J?
Well, really, at that time, you know, LL and a lot of the hip-hop artists that were coming up in this industry, they weren't respected by other clothing brands, and I was just truly a fan of the music. So, you know, honestly, I stalked him. That's it. I mean, I just stalked him.
How'd you do that?
Well, you know, I went to his house every single day until he told me, you know, get away. And I said, listen, you got to wear a shirt before I leave, you know?
Did you know him?
I was really a fan. I didn't know him that well. No, I stood outside his house for about 4 or 5 hours until he just had to come outside. That was the bottom line. But I really stalked him. But at the end of the day, you know what? I was such a fan of the music. And when I realized that, it really wasn't a good thing, but these kids were watching these videos, and that was their CNN. Unfortunately, they weren't watching CNN. They were watching these videos to see what to drive, how to walk, how to talk, and what to wear and what to drink. And I would go up to these video sets for about 2 years with the same stinking 10 shirts, right? And I would sit on these video sets for about 12 hours a day. And almost, about 75% of the videos, they would say to me after a 12-hour day, we don't want your stuff, get out of here. But it didn't matter. I was happy to be on these video sets because I was just such a fan of the music. But at 25% of the time, they would actually wear my clothes, and I would, put that stinky little shirt on them, and I would take it back and take it to another video set. And after about 2 years, it really became popular, these couple of shirts and these brands. And they, and this was this brand named FUBU. And people would look at these videos and say, wow, this is a huge clothing company, when it was the same little 10 stinky shirts I had that I just kept walking around to all these videos. So that's really how I initially started when I was about 18.
Interesting. This is Sean here. And in your book titled The Brand Within, How We Brand Ourselves from Birth to the Boardroom, you talk about how successful companies are able to really connect with clients through their brand and through, marketing. So can you give our listeners some key ways how you think, these successful companies can connect with clients through their brand? Like, maybe you can give them a few examples of how they can do that.
Well, I mean, I think first of all, now is the day and age, and I mean, many of the individuals on this panel right now can even talk about it more on a PhD level. But I think that the brands now have a certain level of transparency that social media has brought around, and when they really don't take themselves that serious, and they put out this transparency, and almost kind of like Apple had done when they had this form of we're going to have all the rebellious kids, the cool kids working within our brand, in our, our stores. And I don't care how many piercings you have or tattoos if you have. If you're a tech geek, but you're the transparency is you're just cool and we're accepting the way you are. People joined on to that. And I love the fact when brands really go out there and they communicate with their customer and they say, we're not perfect and we don't hire perfect people, but we hire them in regards to their technical ability, and they're human just like you are, and you're allowed to be yourself. I love when brands do that with people, and they show that human side of them, no matter how big they are. I think that's something that's really relatable with a lot of consumers.
Okay. Damien, you've been a host for a number of years on the Shark Tank, and you've listened to pitches from entrepreneurs, and some of the ideas are pretty bad, I think. We watch the show. And you invest in some of these companies and ideas. So what is it that really interests you in a business owner and their idea? What's compelling and what kind of turns you off?
I think that what's compelling is usually not even the business, it's the owner. It's how that person is driven or how that person has made enough mistakes on their own. And I understand that they didn't just roll out of bed with this idea. They've made enough mistakes. They've come up with a way that they're going to improve whatever company they have, and it's a scalable idea or a product, and this person is never, ever, ever going to stop until they succeed. And, God forbid that the business does not work, I know that person is going to be a great partner in something else that we do. So I love investing in people. And you know what? I found out that even the worst ideas on that show, it may be the worst idea for me, but I don't know the next Rubik's Cube or the next Snuggie that's going to walk through that door, the next Pet Rock. And as much as I think that the other sharks on the panel are idiots, and I know you had the two biggest bozos speak at your last thing, Kevin and Barbara. But as much as I joke about them, somebody like a Lori will go take this little thing that's put on your chest it's like a paper clip on your chest to hold your eyeglasses, and I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. But she'll go do $6-7 million in that. So at the end of the day, you know, it's about the shark you get within there and their vision for the company, because I'll think things are really, really bad, but people will go off and make a lot of money.
So who do you think you align with more, Kevin or Barbara?
Or Mark, I mean, or any of the sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, which shark do you like the most, and who annoys you the most?
I equally despise all the other sharks, equally. But I also love all of them at the same time. They all the time I joke about them, but they're truly brilliant. Every single one of them are brilliant in various different ways. And often I'm up there on the panel, and I think there's something that's a great idea. And one of the other sharks that are really expert in that industry will make a very, very profound statement, and then I'll go, yeah, and that's why I'm out. Because usually I was about to buy it, you know, until they said something, you know.
So, Damon, you said that that you kind of look for the people and the right type of entrepreneur as opposed to just the idea. What is it about the people that you end up investing in? What is it about them that you think is so important? Is it the passion that they have or the drive that they seem to have when they present to you?
It's a combination. It's the fact that they're constantly growing and learning, but they've already learned or they've already tested, you know, their experience on this product over a couple of years, number one. They also are going to be problem solvers. They're not going to call me every single day with a problem. They're going to call me after they couldn't figure it out, and they're going to have four or five solutions. They're going to say, hey, Damon, you know what? I couldn't figure it out because of these issues, but here are the four paths that we're going to go down that I've researched. Which one do you think is the best one? And then at the end of the day, they're just not going to stop until they exhausted all resources. And I have to just feel like I could trust them, you know, because no matter how good the business is, if you have someone you can't trust, it's not worth anything.
So you're really looking for someone with resilience and passion. It sounds like,
yeah,
what you're saying.
Exactly.
No cattywampuses, Andy.
No cattywampuses.
All right. Well, speaking of one more question about the Shark Tank, what's the most memorable product that you've seen on the show? It could be the worst thing that you've ever seen or the best.
There's so many, truthfully, because everybody stands out for various reasons. You know, there was the guy that as he was pitching us, he was just beeping. He was just making a toot, 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 toot type of noise like R2-D2, and I didn't know what the hell was wrong with the guy.
So I guess you didn't invest in him.
No, nobody invested. I mean, I asked him, why do you keep beeping? You know, and I don't think he had an answer.
The guy was beeping?
The guy, he kept going, you know, he kept making beeping noises himself. He had like a little something you put over bottles, and it made like a Coke can, and it would look like a sock that you put over a Coke can. There's also the guy who wound up with Bluetooth surgically in everybody's neck.
That's Barbara. Kevin mentioned that is their least favorite product.
Yeah,
it would have to be removed now and then or adjusted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to plug your neck in at night when you went to sleep.
I was going
to
say, how do you charge it?
Yeah, that's no good. How about a favorite product?
Favorite product is going to be one of the ones I invested in.
I'm sure.
The favorite product, my favorite product is, and let me see if I can say it, Al Bubba's baby back boneless ribs.
Ooh, I saw that episode. Those ribs,
yeah,
are
you know,
delicious.
They are delicious, number one. But number two is, you know, I come from an industry, when I sell you a shirt, you know, I'm pissed off because you keep wearing the same shirt, you don't buy another one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, boneless ribs, you eat them, they're gone. I got to sell you another boneless rib. Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of the guy who would draw a cat for you that a Cuban invested in?
I loved it. I really, really loved it because I love stupid things like drawing cats. But I just didn't want to get into a fight on national television over a dancing, I want to draw a cat guy. I just, I have some morals, you know.
He was incredible.
I would say that's probably a smart move. All right, one more question for you before we let you go. The FUBU Foundation has donated millions to philanthropic causes. So that obviously speaks to the mission of your company and charity being a big part of it. What would you say to business owners about including charitable efforts as part of their corporate culture?
I think it's an absolute must. I think that we, you know, we're fortunate to be in a position where we can help other individuals. And I think that, you know, when you help other individuals, these are these things that people don't have resources, and it only returns tenfold over. I just would have been brought up doing that. I don't look for people that need handouts, but I need to help people that are just, you know, at any moment we can all be in a very tough, challenging time in our lives. And I just think that those resources could be spent a little bit better what we have. So it's just something I believe in.
That's great. That's a great mission. Well, we're so happy to talk to you today. Thanks for your time. And we will see you in person on April 4th in New York City. Thanks so much, Damon John.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right,
Damon.
If you want to check out the show, go to asishow.com and register. And you can hear Damon John give all kinds of secrets to success in his big keynote on the morning of April 4th. So check it out. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor when we return. Cattywomp Andy Cohn is going to give us the news.
Are we in the holler?
Hanes Branded Printwear is starting the new year with a new website. Designed for promotional product distributors and screen printers alike, HanesInc.com features high-res product and lifestyle images, marketing materials, videos, upsell techniques, and helpful tips to help you increase your ROI. Our new website allows you to search for products based on colors or product line. Our wholesaler section helpfully lists all products that companies carry, as well as wholesaler contact information. HanesInc.com provides the best tools to sell quality products. Hanes is also proud to unveil the Nano Collection, complete with brand new vintage colors and new styles such as lightweight, ring spun, flash, and fleece. If retail fashion is what your customers seek, the Nano Collection is where they'll find it. Cheap shirts are cheap. Hanes shirts are better. Visit www.hanesinc.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We just had Damon John on the show. Check him out at ASI New York on April 4th.
He's cool. I like how he was talking about transparency when
absolutely.
We were talking about branding. That's a big issue today. There's a lot of companies that are not nearly as transparent as they need to be, especially when mistakes happen.
The other thing that I liked is he said he really invests in the person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even the product is much important, which from, you know, in our industry is super important because a lot of people sell the same products. So the person is really what differentiates you. So.
He was very pragmatic. I thought he was great considering that I didn't know about so much about
So you don't
business.
Watch Shark Tank?
Not at all.
I watch it every Friday night.
No.
He has Michelle speaking in a very halting voice.
Yeah, no, I thought he was great. I like that he was pragmatic and that he invests in people.
Absolutely.
Well, I like his startup story, too. 2 years, the same 10. 2 years, the same 10 shirts. I mean, that's persistence, you know.
The same 10 stinky shirts.
Stinky shirts,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean he's clearly a salesperson. I mean, he was, you know, as he said,
stalking
LL Cool J. Like, I mean, it's kind of funny, and we laughed at it, and he laughed at it too. But it's that's exactly what people need to do, as far as trying to get new clients. You know, if you're trying to score that big new client, you can't just call them once or email them once and expect that that's gonna work. You do have to do a little bit of stalking.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's true.
I actually was watching something on VH1, they were doing a, you know, spotlight on Damon John. They actually talked about a Gap ad years ago where LL Cool J was in it, but LL Cool J wore FUBU so much that he actually ended up wearing that FUBU hat in the Gap ad just because that was what he was known for wearing. That was trademark for LL Cool J back in the day. So it's really cool that you can – that trademark was able to get into a Gap, like an ad for Gap and its FUBU.
That's pretty unusual.
That's pretty cool.
All right, Andy, we're going to let you give us the news now.
All right, thank you. We begin this morning with product news. 6 years after banning single-use plastic bags, San Francisco is on the verge of prohibiting the sale of plastic water bottles at events held on city property. The city's Board of Supervisors has unanimously approved a measure that would ban the sale of single-use bottles containing 21 ounces or less of water. Top 40 distributor news now. Foreign Print Group reported 2013 revenues of $356 million, an increase of 16% over the previous year. Sales of promotional products, for Imprint said, grew to $329 million, driven largely by gains in the U.S. market. Top 40 supplier News Now, American Apparel, said that its wholesale revenue, which includes sales to the ad specialty industry, increased by 9% in February. The rise followed a January in which wholesale sales increased 7%, even though the apparel maker said that its retail sales fell by 7% in February, which was the third consecutive month of declines. International News Now, after waffling between a public filing in Hong Kong and New York, China-based e-commerce firm Alibaba is now preparing an IPO in the U.S. later this year. Media reports cite Morgan Stanley and Credit Suisse Group as the banking underwriters hired by Alibaba. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Well, Andy, we have this mug that's made out of corn plastic, so it's eco-friendly. It'll lessen your carbon footprint if you use it in your promotions. And when you drink out of it, it's been molded to look like a heart on the inside.
Aww,
and if you plant it in the ground, will you grow a corn stalk?
You will not.
Wow. Will you be drinking out of it today?
I shan't be, but it will be on today's Joe Show. Well, there's nothing in there to drink.
I shan't be?
I shan't be.
He shan't.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, hush up there.
Young lass. Okay.
Young.
Well, word of mouth marketing referrals, of course, are very, very important to distributors in our industry. And Sean has the psychology behind word of mouth marketing this morning.
So I recently read an article that's titled The Fascinating Psychology Behind Word of Mouth Marketing by Nicole Carter. And in it, she interviews Jonah Berger, who's a Wharton professor. And he talks about how word of mouth is still very powerful today. Most consumers trust their friends more than they trust ads, and more, you know, as many celebrities we try to put in these ads, people really still trust their friends versus, you know, an ad with a celebrity like. And while we're at an all-time high with social media and, you know, how social media is so important, in this article they talk about only 7% of word-of-mouth marketing being online. So
really?
I would think that it would, you know, that's where a lot of people
still
these days
the
would get a lot of their word-of-mouth from online, you know, sharing things and stuff like that. But apparently it still comes from, you know, real life setting. So I guess the question to anyone out there listening who's looking to get into word of mouth marketing is, how can you get people to talk about your things offline? Don't let social media be the only way that you can, you know, get people to talk about you. Think about how you can get them to talk about you offline. And in the article, they use two things, social currency and triggers, as ways to use word of mouth marketing. So with social currency, they talk about products or services and how they give value to their customers. So when you talk about, let's say, a party and how getting on the RSVPing for that party and it being exclusive is something that makes people want to, you know, go to that party or makes people want to be a part of your brand, say whatever it is. So find out what it is within your brand or your service that brings value to your customers and makes people want it or want to, you know, call you up for their service. The other thing is, you know, triggers. And it's funny, in here they talked about the McRib sandwich at McDonald's when, you know, it comes up every few years. You never know when it's going to come out. You never know how long it's going to be. So what I said was, you know, maybe you can, our people who are listening can think about this as, you know, maybe one day sales you could have for customers. And maybe, you know, a product release. We're going to release a new product once a month or once every 6 months, like how Apple does their releases. And everyone's, you know, so crazy and so excited to find out what's the next Apple phone or iPhone or Apple product that's going to come out when they do this release. Yeah.
Suspense.
So build some excitement and some suspense up and make people, you know, really want to engage and know what you have going on, which they'll then carry that word on to other people.
Well, those are some really good tips. Andy, I know in the State of the Industry issue every year, I mean, you ask people how they get their business, and, you know, referrals and word of mouth is certainly always number one or close to number one.
Referrals.
I mean, more than cold calling and, you know, some other traditional sales techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think word of mouth is like the holy grail for marketers today. I mean, it's if they could get people talking about their brand and espousing their services to their network of contacts, then that's what really is really expanding sales for companies today, and that's why social media has expanded so quickly, because you know, if you have one brand that's talking about their services and then their followers talking about their services to their followers, that's the kind of word of mouth marketing that companies are trying to get. So like Sean was saying, you know, having certain things that build suspense and make people talk about your company as a service provider, that's what is effective.
But don't rely just on social media. That number is actually lower than
anyone would think, 7%. Yeah.
You know,
really,
so that can't be – well, that's a great tool. It's only one of many tools.
Yeah, it's also – sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say people should rely more on press coverage. There mm-hmm. was a piece that was in the latest issue of Allure magazine, which is a magazine for women about beauty and fashion and fitness. And they wrote about this product. And since they wrote about that product, it has been everywhere. And it's a little-known product from Japan. Mm-hmm. And since they wrote about it, it's – sold out. By the way, I'm waitlisted to get it. But it's amazing how one article in a magazine can do that for a product.
Oh, sure. What is the product?
It's called Babyfoot.
And what does it do?
You have to look it up.
Soft baby feet?
It does. And it's this weird. It's this weird.
Who doesn't want that?
So when you do happy baby, you'll have happy baby feet.
It's these little socks with these herbs, and you put your feet in.
Oh,
and
they get soft.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like that.
You know, it's also the reason why live event marketing has boomed so much over the last few years. You know, companies are holding live events, a product launch type event, or like Sean was saying with Apple, and that becomes an experience. And then people are then interacting with the brand in ways that they can't do through traditional advertising or marketing or direct mail. You just can't interact with products and services you know, through those mechanisms as well as you can through a live event, marketing, you know, event. And that's the type of thing that people are really trying to get creative with today. And that's an opportunity for distributors, because at every live event, marketing outing, there is promotional products there.
Signage, all over. And giveaways.
There's so many of them that type of marketing process is something that distributors really should be talking to their clients
about. You
know,
South by Southwest is going on now, and we are sending two of our staffers to go cover that.
We are. And actually, in Promogram next weekend, you know, all over the place, you're going to see a lot of videos and things coming out from them of all the crazy amount of great products that are going to be featured there.
You know, I was just at the Wing Bowl a few weeks ago here in Philadelphia, and the sponsorship.
The Wing Bowl. Tell everyone what that is.
The Wing Bowl is a wing eating competition thrown by a local sports talk radio show.
WIP.
And they bring in contestants, have to do an eating stunt to qualify
and
for this.
And it's 2 days before the Super Bowl.
And they come in, and it's part Mardi Gras, part frat party. And it's this huge, huge event. It costs $5 to get in. All the money goes to charity. And they pack the Wells Fargo Center, which is where the Philadelphia Flyers and the 76ers play. And there is sponsorship all over the place. T-shirts, and there is signage all over the place, from table drapes to teardrop signage. They have, you know, pop-up displays, and they pop them back down, move them to another part of the arena. And when these people leave, they are all wearing these free logo T-shirts. There's thousands and thousands of logo T-shirts to give out. So those live events is an opportunity that if you can't throw one, you can help sponsor it, be a sponsor.
Absolutely.
Is an awesome opportunity to get that word out there. One of the sponsors was actually this hand wipe company. You know, you pop out a wipe and you clean your hands off, and
oh,
it's
that's
like
a good idea.
Get
that's
the funk
the place
off.
To be, yeah. That that's wing cool. sauce off.
There you go.
All right. Well, we all want to make better decisions, and Joe, you've got a checklist today.
I do.
For better team decision making.
Okay, so basically
I'm checking.
Andy. Oh, Andy's checking. The idea here is that maybe that your meetings aren't so inefficient. Maybe that it's further upstream with how everything's organized. And they give you a checklist here to talk about, you know, is the problem here in our meeting or is it with senior level management? And they say if you go through this checklist and you have 9 or 10 of these, you answer on a scale from 1 to 10, you know.
So what are some of the...
Okay. We each have a clear understanding of our individual roles and responsibilities.
So this is in a meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
We each have a clear understanding.
So Michelle
of each
emailing me yesterday, do you really need me for this meeting?
Which was cockamamie, by the way.
Okay. She did not have a clear role, apparently. So that was a bad meeting.
So you also want to ask,
none of us had a clear role.
None of us.
Is there little overlap or redundancy between our roles and our responsibilities?
Okay.
So do we all come with our own set skill, or do Andy and I kind of overlap and Sean and Michelle overlap? Decisions are made at an appropriate level. That's the other thing, you know. So is this decision being made here at this table, or then we have to take our idea and then present it to another level, you know, senior level management? We meet in subgroups appropriately and if necessary. So in other words, if Michelle and I are working on something together, do we meet so we can bring it to the table together, or do we discuss it here at the table? There's actually 10 of these, so we're not going to go through all 10 of them. We'll post them online. So if you're having meetings and you think they're inefficient, go through this checklist. Follow the advice that they say with ranking this stuff. If you find that you do 9 or 10 of these, you're in trouble. Well, not you're in trouble, that your problem doesn't really lie within your meetings. It lies up in upper-level management.
So you've got bigger problems.
You've got bigger,
fish
to fry with that word you keep throwing around today. What is it?
Cattywumps.
Cattywumps.
All right, check out asicentral.com/radio for that checklist, and we're going to finish off today's show with some of our editors who brought their favorite products of the week. And Sean, Would you like to start off?
Yes, I'll go first. My product of the week is an anti-slip cell phone holder, which you can put at your desk, you can put in the kitchen, in the bathroom, whatever. You know, just sit it there,
one
put your phone
kind
on
of
it.
Sticky
so
things.
Yeah, you just stick your cell phone on it, so that way it's not on the desk vibrating. For me, it's the desk. I don't like when my phone's on my desk and it's vibrating. I want it to sit like that. You can do whatever you want, play your music, whatever you want to do, text. So that's my. It's promosalesusa.com, ASI number 7994.
All right, Joe, what do you have?
Oh, it looks like a TIE fighter, right? Michelle, you're a Star Wars geek, kind of, right?
It looks
like
it
Star
does.
Okay, actually, what this does, you affix this to your telescoping handle on your luggage. So when you're traveling through an airport and you've got your boarding pass in your hand and you have your cell phone in your hand and you've got your bag in your hand, you got your other bag and a coffee, where do you put it? Well, you put it in here. And it cradles it for you, so you don't have to worry about fighting with this, spilling it. And you can get to your gate, and you pop it out. When you're done with this, you detach it, put it inside your bag. So you can get this from...
Let's remember, though, you can't go through security with beverages.
No. But it's once you get... Yeah, once you get through security, and you want that coffee. A lot of people do that. You can find this from iClick ASI 62124, and you can find them online at www.iclick.com.
All right, Michelle, bring us home.
Mine is from Minya, USA, ASI 71370, and it looks like a lipstick, but it is actually a little – it's on a keychain, and it's an LED light and a stylus tip. But it looks like a cute little lipstick.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, you can check out all those products at ASICentral.com Radio. We are out of time. Thanks today for listening. Thanks today for listening. Thanks everyone for listening today. Thanks for today's show sponsor, Haynes. And be sure to go to ASIShow.com and register for ASI New York so you can hear Damon John speak. Thanks everyone. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Shout out to Jason Cohn.